This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. This weekend, comedians from across the country will descend on St. Louis for the 8th annual Flyover Comedy Festival. Among the performers are heavy hitters like Kim Whitley, Aziz Ansari, and St. Louis natives, the Sklar brothers. Identical twin brothers Jason and Randy Sklar grew up in Creve Coeur and went on to star in many TV shows, including, but not limited to, Curb Your Enthusiasm, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and Children's Hospital. They're also the co-hosts of the podcast Dumb People Town with fellow comedian Daniel Van Kirk. Joining us today is half of the comedy duo, Jason Sklar. Sklar brother Jason, welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you so much. And that's the only time I'm going to let you call me heavy is when you say I'm a heavy hitter, okay. And I'll take it.
Duly noted.
My own daughter has insulted me. It's like, you should join a gym. I'm like, whoa, 11-year-old.
So
take it easy.
The peanut gallery is in the house.
They're coming at me from all sides. You don't understand. That's why I need to get away from LA, come back to my roots in St. Louis, and do some fun shows.
Yeah. Well, on that note, before we talk about the shows that you'll be doing here, I want to start with your upbringing, Jason. What are some of your favorite memories of growing up in St. Louis?
Well, I mean, I love that Olive Street Road is like, if they just called it Olive Street, would people be like, we don't know what this is. Is it a building? Is it a library? Oh, it's Olive Street Road. So it's a road. Oh, good. Great. I love that. I love, you know, what high school did you go to as a pickup line in St. Louis? I love Emo's Pizza. Pizza's so thin. You're like, am I eating the pizza or the box that it came in? Like pizza that starts as leftovers. I like it. I love St. Louis. We're obsessed. We went to Parkway North High School, my brother and I.
Oh.
Our school colors were acid and wash.
Okay.
I mean, it was a great time. We grew up in the 80s in St. Louis, which is a great time to be here. So all that stuff, all the St. Louis stuff, I mean, every part of our childhood, I feel like, was a piece. Anytime we examine things that felt a little out of place was the beginnings of our stand-up comedy career. And St. Louis is such a nurturing place. I will say this, wherever we go in the world, like St. Louis, and we do anything, St. Louis as a city is very proud of its people that go out and do things. And so we feel very supported by St. Louis.
Mm-hmm. Would you say that your youth in St. Louis then is why you decided to go into comedy?
I mean, it definitely gave us lots of fodder. I would say that, you know, my brother and I were huge comedy nerds before that was even a thing. You know, in the 80s, HBO was doing these Rodney Dangerfield Young Comedian specials, and there were some, you know, this is before Comedy Central, this is before, obviously, YouTube and clips of comedy being cycling through people's TikTok feeds and Instagram feeds and Facebook feeds. So for us, you know, we had to seek it out and find it. And we were obsessed with comedians and comedy. And, you know, when you fall in love with that art form, and I'm going to call it an art form, and then you look at your own life and all the things in your life that seem ripe for creating comedy, that's when those two, the interest and the material and sort of what's prime in your life come together. And I think, yeah, you could say that was a big part of shaping us as comedians.
Mm-hmm. Why then did you leave St. Louis? And well, was it to pursue what you wanted there?
Absolutely. You know, I say this about St. Louis, and it feels like a backhanded compliment to say that St. Louis is a great place to be from. I do love coming back to St. Louis. But as far as comedy, when we started out, it was hard to live in St. Louis and give yourself lots of opportunities in the comedy world, in the television world, in the film world. I think things are starting to change a little bit. I think it's possible to live almost anywhere, certainly with like the internet as like a main, you know, YouTube, you can do it from anywhere. If you can build a following, you can build it in Wisconsin, in Missouri, wherever you are. Just those two states, by the way, just
yes.
In Wisconsin, Missouri. No, but I think, you know, for us in the 90s, we, you know, my brother and I went to the University of Michigan for college and really started to like develop our comedy chops a little bit there. And then we had a choice back then. It was either go to New York or go to Los Angeles if you wanted to really try and make a run at this business. So we chose New York because we loved New York and the energy there and felt like we needed to become good comedians first before we started to really try and make a name for ourselves in television and film. And turned out to be a great choice, lots of opportunities. We got lucky. We were there in the 90s when alternative comedy was booming. And then we moved to LA in 99. We've been there for 26 years out here in LA. And so, you know, it's so interesting because I do think we still draw on all the things that, you know, shaped us as we were growing up. I still feel like we have sort of a Midwestern attitude towards everything. We have a St. Louis attitude towards a lot of things. And I still feel like we feel like small town kids like who had moved out to the coast. And meanwhile, I've lived in Los Angeles longer than I lived in St. Louis, which says a lot about how great St. Louis is and says a lot about how much the city feels like it's in our roots.
Mm-hmm. You and your brother, Randy, in a way, you've carved out a bit of a niche for yourselves by combining your love of sports and comedy. And there are shows like the beloved Views from the Cheap Seats on ESPN, which had such a long run, and the UFC series Nosebleeds. Jason, as a sports fan, was it natural for you and your brother to merge comedy and athletics?
That's a great question. We always loved sports and we loved comedy kind of equally. And I think that was, you know, that's kind of an interesting, I think that might also be the Midwest in us, which is that I think you grow up in the Midwest and you're predisposed to love the St. Louis Cardinals and to be aware of college football and sports. It's just in the ether as you grow up. And I think to also have like a love of the arts, it is a dichotomy. Most people usually go one way or the other. But we were given a great opportunity by a fellow St. Louisan, Gary Belsky, who was the editor-in-chief of ESPN, the magazine. But before he was that, he was our Sunday school teacher when we were in seventh grade and our camp counselor when we were 10 in St. Louis. And he went on to do amazing things and a wonderful career in New York. But he was, at the time, the editor-in-chief of ESPN, the magazine, and he had pitched ESPN Classic a bunch of shows. And one of the ideas was watch us watch these old weird sporting events we have. And he hadn't really developed it, and they were looking for people to host it. And he's like, God, I just wish I knew two people who love sports and had good chemistry. And we're like, Gary, why are you not asking us? Meanwhile, he thought, why would you guys want to do a comedy show on ESPN? And we said, well, maybe this is the perfect place to do a comedy show. It's unexpected. It can fly under the radar. And we can probably do all the things we really want to do on this show without a ton of oversight on the comedy side. And that turned out to be true. And what we set out to do with that show with Cheap Seats was to create something that fans would say, you know what, I like this show and I also like The Daily Show. I like this show and I like Chappelle's show. I like this show and I like Conan O'Brien late night. So that was the comps we were trying to match, not I like this show and I like SportsCenter, which is a slight twist on the dial. It really is like, can we really create the kind of comedy that can stand shoulder to shoulder with the comedy shows we love to watch? Mm-hmm. And that was our goal. And so many people, like Nick Kroll, I think his first TV appearance was on that show. Kristen Schaal, her first appearance was on that show. We had Paul Rudd on the show, Zach Galifianakis on the show, David Cross was on the show. And we really tried to tap all of our friendships and our connections to comedy people and pull them into this sports show, where we said, okay, let's just get the sports right, but let's really work super hard on the comedy. And to this day, people will tell us, you know, I don't really love sports, but my wife loves sports, or my mom loves sports, or my dad loves sports, and we never could watch anything together except for your show, because the comedy made me laugh and the sports were what he or she needed. And so, boom, we were able to have something together, and your show bridged the gap. And those are usually our favorite feedback comments from people about that show.
We're talking with Jason Sklar. Jason, with his twin brother Randy, is one half of the comedy pair The Sklar Brothers. Both will be returning home to St. Louis to headline the annual Flyover Comedy Festival for the second time. And we're talking about their comedy origins, growing up in St. Louis, and what it means to be coming home. Before we leave this note about your being twins and the kind of chemistry you have, your stand-up comedy is like, you know, twin tuition on overdrive. Like, it's very mm-hmm. seamless. You know, you weave in and out of each other's thoughts. And you and Randy credit the Beastie Boys as an inspiration for your performance style. Is there like a Beastie Boys moment or something that sort of stands out in their body of work that illustrates how that's the case?
Well, I think, you know, because there weren't a lot of teams, comedy teams, when we started, there was all teams, by the way, in the 60s. And I mean, you think Abbott and Costello, you think Martin and Lewis, you think Nichols and May, you know, Gracie Allen and George Burns. There were tons, everyone was part of a team. And then that trend kind of ended in the 70s as comedy went away from that and more individual. And so it wasn't like, you know, we could look to a lot of comedy, current comedy teams in the mid to late 80s. But here's the thing. When we heard the Beastie Boys for the first time, I credit our good friend Ben Holman, who's still in St. Louis, who made us a cassette tape. On one side was Run DMC, Raising Hell. On the other side was Beastie Boys, License to Ill.
Oh, man.
And the first time we heard the unbelievable.
Yeah,
first
right.
First time we heard the Beastie Boys, we were, first of all, it sounded unlike any other rap. The voices were funny. And then we noticed that they were chiming in with each other and crossing over. And sometimes everyone's saying something at the same time and then splitting off. And they kind of were, you could hear bits and pieces of everyone and everyone was being funny. And the one thing that the feeling we got from listening to the Beast Boys all the way through Paul's Boutique, when a lot of people left, that, you know, fans, quote unquote fans, when that album came out, they lost some fans, but they gained diehard fans. And then, you know, Ill Communication, all through the years, Check Your Head, all those albums, what we gathered from like watching them perform and listening to them was that it looks like so much fun to be in that group. And that vibe, that energy is something we, I believe, try to create on stage. And we do at least have fun with each other. And a lot of times people will say to us after shows, like, I had never seen anything like that. Or I wish I had a twin sibling that I could, you know, finish sentences with or bounce off of. Or that looks like you guys are having so much fun up there. And I think that energy is something that from an early on, I would say, you know, License to Ill, certainly. And then Paul's Boutique, like when they sort of transitioned into that album and they really started making stuff for themselves and really trying to create this like vibe of joy and fun with each other. Certainly came from the first one they were irreverent more than anything. The second one, Paul's Boutique, kind of felt even more fun. I think in that time zone is when we really, late 80s, we were starting to perform and we really said, this is like, if we could someday even create energy that even comes close to this, because, you know, we are Jews and the Beastie Boys go in the Jewish Performer Hall of Fame. So,
right, right.
You know, they were heroes of ours for that. And just also heroes for doing their own thing that sounded like nothing else. And it's really hard to establish a new voice. And when you hear a Beastie Boys song, you know it's a Beastie Boys song. We wanted to be like, when you hear one of our bits on the radio or you close your eyes and you listen or whatever, you know that that is us. And that feels like a sort of significant achievement in art.
So I want to come back to the reason you are returning to St. Louis. This is your second year with Randy headlining the Flyover Comedy Festival. This event's been happening since 2017. Were you able to attend any of the performances, you know, last year when you were here? Were you scouting talent and maybe looking out for opportunities that you could open up for people the way folks did for you?
Well, yeah. I mean, first of all, we host a show called Tag It, which is so fun. We're going to do it again this year, where Randy and I are on stage and comedians perform their set of comedy. We don't interrupt them, but the whole time we're writing tags for their jokes, which are little jokes that go on at the end of their jokes. And then we keep them on stage and pitch them the tags on stage. And it's half, it's like they hired a writer's room for their comedy act. And it's half, you know, improv mixed with like, you know, mixed with punch up jokes, loaded with like great comedy on its face, because we have a great lineup of young comedians. But that was a chance for us to meet so many young comedians that we didn't know as we filled the show with other comedians who were in for the Flower Festival. A couple we knew, but some we were introduced to on that show and we've remained friends with and connected to. And yeah, we've tried to pop out and see shows when we can. And then of course, last year we got to do a big headlining show, which I love. That was fantastic. And this year, that big show is our podcast, Dumb People Town. Mm-hmm. Originally it was a pageant. It's next door at Del Mar Hall, which is part of the same complex. That's
right.
Where we're going to do it. So we're going to do that on Sunday night with Daniel Van Kirk, who's an amazing co-host of Dumb People Town, and Rory Scovel, who's just one of the best comics out there. He's coming in to do that show with us. And that is just a glorious romp through dumb behavior. We take three stories, usually from the state of Florida. You know, some guy robs a house with his cat. We're going to break down that entire story. If some woman decides to drive around town with her kids and a baby pool on top of her car, she's trying to be mother of the year. We get it. We're going to break down the details of that story. It's an exploration of dumb behavior and trying to fight back against the wave of dumb in this world with comedy. And it's super fun. And it always is a big blast to do it live and from an audience. And for all the people who came and saw us last year do stand-up, this is basically a whole new hour and a half of comedy with us and our guests. And I'm just so psyched that this festival is in St. Louis and that it's growing and that people are continuing to go and great comics are coming to be a part of it. Because, you know, they call it the Flyover Festival because, you know, it's a derogatory term that they're retaking, reclaiming. Like, these are the flyover states. Usually you fly over St. Louis on your way to Chicago or some other city, New York. But to make St. Louis a destination for comedy is like a dream for us. So we're like thrilled to be a part of it.
Mm-hmm. Is there something in particular you're excited about experiencing, not only with the Flyover Festival, but just being back in St. Louis, you know, in November as the weather kind of sometimes is cold and then will change all
right.
of a sudden? You know, will your family also be coming with you?
So our mom is still in St. Louis. Shout out to Annette Sklar. She's a legend and she is amazing. We'll stay at our house in our old beds. There's something beautiful about that.
Mm-hmm.
Save the festival some money. But also, you know, a chance to spend time with our mom. She's going to make her Mayfair dip that we dip carrots and cauliflower into. Can't wait for that. We're going to go to Ted Drew's. We're going to turn Ted Drew's upside down and eat the extra heath-filled pistachio-flavored concrete that I love. Randy has his own order. Because he's not on the show, he doesn't get to mention it.
Okay.
It really is good, guys. Turns out Ted Drew's, it really is good, guys. We're going to go eat all the toasted ravioli we can. We're going to introduce our friends to St. Louis landmarks and, you know, walk them down through the record stacks of vintage vinyl and, you know, just do all the things in St. Louis we love. We come back to St. Louis usually at least once a year to visit our mom. I come with my kids and they love St. Louis. The City Museum in St. Louis is like, my kids love it so much. And for me, the City Museum is where you go to test how strong your relationship is with your partner. Because when your kid goes up into the ceiling and disappears for like 11 minutes,
yes.
It's like, whose fault was it? And how strong is your relationship?
Uh-huh.
You see a lot of fights in that main room. You were supposed to go out there. I can't fit up there. It's because you eat too much. And you're like, whoa, this is insane. I'll be at the bar on floor two. And then like they have their own, like the bartender knows their name. And they're like, how often are you at this bar? So it's a hilarious place. But I love it. I mean, there are so many parts of St. Louis that we text old friends who have left St. Louis or around that we're here. We're like, we're at Crown Candy, we're at Ted Drew's, we're down at Salt and Smoke. We're down by the Arch. Like, all these things. Like, my kids love going up in the Arch. That's another thing that's just hilarious and phenomenal, going up in the Arch. Like, that whole experience is fantastic. Like, all the little things that we love doing as kids, my kids love, and I'm so glad that they feel a kinship to St. Louis, even though they're not from there. And my mom loves it when we're back. We have friends who are in St. Louis who are still there, and we love seeing them when we come back. It's a great return. I've been looking forward to this for a long time.
Jason, thanks so much for talking with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. Thanks for supporting comedy. And we're going to do a great job for ya, St. Louis.
This episode was produced by Darius Varner.
Audio engineering and sound design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.